أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه أكرموا أولادكم وأحسنوا آدابهم أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher, and our Sustainer. We bear witness there is none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness, we believe in all the prophets who came throughout history. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected the elders, brothers and sisters, respected youth, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy, and the blessings of Allah be upon each and every one present here at this auspicious hour of Jumu'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. There are occurrences in our lives over which we have absolutely no control. For example, birth. We are born, all of us, but none of us had any choice in when, or where, or to which family we were born in. Neither do we have much control over death, or where and when we would die. Some people may attempt to take their life, but ultimately only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly knows how, when, and where our life will end. Just on this issue, the Veserni Prava newspaper in Prague, in Czech Republic, reported a story in 1978 of a lady by the name of Vera Zernak, who was informed by her husband that he is leaving her for someone else, and she felt so betrayed that she wanted to kill herself. So when he left the house, she jumped out of the third story of her apartment in the flat. And as she jumped from the window to kill herself, her husband was exiting at the bottom. She fell on top of him. He died and she was injured. She attempted to kill herself and he died. And she was injured and survived. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَّاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. No one knows what we will accrue from tomorrow, what we will acquire from tomorrow. And no one knows exactly in what place we will die. Surely only Allah is all-knowing, well-informed in all aware. But between birth and death, we have different degrees of choices. And therefore, we have different degrees of accountability and responsibilities. And this is in relation to what we do. These choices that we have as human beings are limited when you are a child. Because as a child, you do not have the means, nor the ability, nor the resources to live by yourself. And therefore, you are under the control of your parent. And until you are adult or mature, even Allah does not hold you fully accountable for any wrongdoings on your part. As the Rasul in the Hadith documented in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثِ. Three people from whom the pen is lifted, in other words, they're not held accountable. Among them, anis sabi hatta yashib, the child, until he or she becomes responsible for their actions. So children are completely at the mercy of parents and their guardians regarding their home, their shelter, their food, their beliefs, their values, and their education. What we do to them there is what will affect them for the rest of their lives. Then you have youth, teenage and beyond. which is perhaps the most crucial part in the intellectual, moral, and emotional development of a person, a period where there is a rational capacity but limited opportunity, because the world, even for the youth, are dictated by adults. When you can go, where you live, depending where the father works or the mother works, that's where the child will live, and so on and so forth. Whether they'll be children of a divorced parents or not, single home or double parent, all of this is not a choice that they have. So they are youth, they have intellectual capacity and ability, sometimes certain abilities, technical and intellectual, which even the adults may not have, but they don't have a choice in the decision making. Adults, on the other hand, are in charge of the finance of education. We, from among us, comes the government and the laws, because in adulthood we have most choices, and because that is the period of free control where we are only limited by our circumstances. We are only limited by our circumstances. Whether we are youth or adults, there are incidences that occur impacting the lives of individuals. There are also experiences that affect the lives of communities. And then there are events that change the course of a nation's history. And then in our era, in our period, in our lifetime, one such major event was June 16th, 1976. An uprising that occurred 42 years ago, yesterday, 42 years ago, and has been designated as Youth Day, and hence there was a national public holiday. It was an event that profoundly changed the social political landscape in South Africa. That what they call the Soweto Uprising, led primarily by youth, further highlighted by the killing of the 13-year-old Hector Peterson. And that event and its aftermath shook the foundation of the apartheid regime at that time, a regime which was fully weaponized, racist military regime, and it was challenged by unarmed youth who took on the government at that time. Some lost their lives, but that encounter forever changed the power dynamics in our country, and it changed the power dynamics against a well-armed, well-machined apartheid system. The strength of that movement at that time was eventually its inclusivity. Young and old, workers and professionals, faith-based leaders across board, most of them. And it was not ultimately a struggle only about education, about Afrikaans and so on and so forth, but the entire apartheid system that subjected people, the majority of the people of this land, to political oppression and to economic exploitation. It also challenged and embarrassed fearful and passive adults among us who were living in the country and some were outside the country, how this youth rose up against injustice, and therefore that event irreversibly changed the course of our lives. It was youth at the forefront, youth who fought for freedom and justice. And if we reflect on Islamic history, we realize the valuable role of youth. Those future leaders, depending on what the adults do at present, because much of what happens in the future is what we leave behind for them. As some wise people have said, we don't so much inherit the time and the age and the land from our parents as much as we borrow it from our children. What do we leave behind for them? Because what we leave behind for them could make them the potential victims or victors of the past, but certainly nonetheless, they will be the inheritors of the future. The question is, what are they inheriting? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma nahala walidun waladahu min nuhlin afdala min adabin hasan." حديث documented by Imam Tirmidhi in the different wording, ما ورث والد ولد خير من أدب حسن. Different wordings to the hadith, but basically it implies no parent gives a parent or guardian gives the young people or the children a better gift or a better inheritance than good preparation and moral training. It has often been in history the revolutionary spirit of the youth who stood up, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a young man against the idolatry of his time, was a young man at that time when it happened. Isa, in defense of his mother, was in fact a toddler. The Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave, which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged us to read that surah on Friday, this most sacred day of the week, to remind us. And among the central themes of that surah is the lesson of the youth who saw the corruption around them and extricated themselves from the corruption, not to be part of that corruption. We look at Dawood against Jalud, David and Goliath. He was a young man. Youth who are more open to the realities and at insights to engage the present, who haven't become yet rigid in their traditions that are affected or influenced by families and societies. In fact, if you look at Musa alayhi salam in Surah Yunus, Allah mentions, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ مِنْ قَوْمِ على خوف من فرعون وملئهم أن يفتنهم وإن فرعون لعالم في الأرض وإنه لمن المسرفين. The verse of the Quran. But no one believed in Musa. No one believed in Musa besides his brother who was with him, Harun alayhi salam, except the youth. People who were conscious of the oppression they were facing, not fearful of the Pharaoh. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself focus so much on the youth. He knew they were the future. They were the ones to perpetuate the legacy of Islam and the civilization of Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood at the age of 40. And the vast majority of his followers were younger than him. Besides that, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and a few elders, Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anhu, majority of them were his age, younger than him, and the vast majority, perhaps half his age and even younger than that. It is well known that a sizable majority of the Prophet's initial companions were the youth. In fact, therefore, some of the Quraysh said, we find none following you, O Muhammad, except the slaves, women, and the young. Throughout the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he maintained a perfect balance between appreciating and respecting the wisdom and the lived experience of the elders. May Allah be pleased with those companions, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Khadija, may Allah be pleased with them. But always appreciating and respecting and including and incorporating the dynamism and the sharp insights of younger companions like Sayyidina Ali, Anas bin Malik, Ammar bin Yasir, Zayd, Bilal, Sayyida Aisha, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially met in secret, when they met, when they couldn't make Islam public, they met in the house of Al-Arqam bin Al-Arqam, who was 16 years old. He was the one who organized the meetings at night. Usama bin Zayd, who led an army in the lifetime of the Prophet, in the army was in Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar fighting under him, and he was 18 years of age. Mu'adh bin Jabal, whom the Rasul sent to Yemen as an envoy while he was a young man. Atba bin Usaid, Rasulullah made him the governor of Makkah in his lifetime in the 8th year of Hijrah at the time after the Battle of Hunain. You see, Rasulullah appreciated the potential of the youth. In our country, 36% of the population are under the age of 35. Children and young people lie at the heart of South Africa's untapped potential. Yet more than 50% of these people, of these youth, especially those between the age of 15 and 24, have no form of formal employment or education or of higher training. And 46% of people between the age of 25 and 34 fall into this category. And that means 7.9 million people young people in our country are out of work, not insufficient education or training opportunities. When you want to go work, you can't find work because you need experience. How can you get experience if there's been no jobs? And this has been exacerbated and worsened by COVID-19, where people like us who do have jobs, some of us have lost our jobs. What about those who don't have jobs? How would they get into the market? And in that financial and economic instability, what hope is there for the future? 50 years into our democracy, and we are in a pitiful state. Many researchers have proven that a pool of young people who are not in employment or in education or in training are more prone to be entangled in crime, in drug abuse, in poverty, and in violence. And therefore, in recent years, we have experienced, it's not a justification, but it may be an understanding of the situation. In a country that is richly blessed in natural and human resources, if nurtured properly, we as adults, we who elect people to power, if nurtured properly, these resources would be able to create a country where the concept of inequality, unemployment, and poverty would be distant memories. But that's not the case. 30 years into our, more than 30 years into our democracy, South Africa falls deeper and deeper into a state of poverty and desperation, while political leaders increasingly become the problem instead of the solution. Instead of fulfilling the potential of being a regional and a continental leader, South Africa is becoming a beggar at the world. We are leading the world in so many things. We have so much gold, so much platinum and coal, natural resources, human potential, but yet we remain the most unequal country in the world. The leading country for rape and femicide in the world, among the highest youth unemployment in the world. The national debt of our country is 4.3 million rand. And just to service the interest of that, it costs us 350 million rand a year. And this is what our children are going to pay. Not debt which they incurred, but for which they will be liable. You must be aware of this. We must be aware of this. What are we leaving for them? Our house or a car we leave from them will not be sufficient. We're leaving a system that's broken. They can be victims of crime. They can be victims of corruption. They can be victims of violence. And that's why Quran encourages not only for yourself, but those around you. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدِينَ إِحْسَانًا. Allah commands you to worship none but Allah. And then he says, وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, and those who are near to you, and your parents. وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, those who are in need, those who are impoverished. وَالْجَارِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْ, all those who are around you. Those close to you are related to you, your neighbors, those in your area, those in your vicinity, those in your neighborhoods. So we indeed need to commemorate the events of 1976 as we remember the noble struggle of those who fought so bravely for freedom in this country. In 1976, when the youth took to the streets, they were shot, they were killed, they were traumatized, they were detained, and some went missing up till today. No one knows where to, they disappeared. They were fighting an oppressive, racist leadership. They fought for a different future than the one that they were experiencing at that time. Oppression, discrimination, and dehumanization. The youth of today, 42 years afterwards, are also begging for a different future to the present one that they are shackled in. How many youth want to leave the country? How many of our youth are we telling to leave the country? Why? We fought. From the time of Twanguru, our people came here in chains. They fought Dutch imperialism and they came here. They survived. We are here at Masjid al-Furqan at Islamia. On Imam Abdullah Harun Road, who gave his life for the struggle. We betrayed that struggle. We betrayed their blood and their honor and their dignity. And we are the generation after Imam Harun, and our children are the generation after us.
The youth of today are also begging for a different future to the present that they are shackled in. They're having to fight corrupt and selfish leaders. You see, at that time, they fought racist leaders. Now we're fighting corrupt and selfish leaders. And the youth are shackled, as we are, with corruption, unemployment, ineffective education, mismanagement in government, violent crime, insufficient infrastructure, atrocious delivery service, especially to the impoverished communities, lack of basic facilities, and no job opportunities. These factors have also been worsened by the COVID pandemic. In 1976, the youth fought for freedom from injustice. 42 years later, our youth today are fighting for survival. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who have faith, save yourself and your family from the fire. Fire could be the fire of Jahannam, of course. So in other words, prepare them morally, spiritually. But it can also imply that you prepare them in the world in ways that close avenues to the fire. Don't create corruption. Don't perpetuate corruption. Don't create poverty. Don't let those who are living on bribes and connections get to senior positions. And therefore they will feel the only way for them to survive and to succeed will be to be like that, because that's the norm. Ensure that you don't create conditions like corruption, like injustice, like the debt that they are inheriting, or even poverty, that could open the way for our youth to feel that the only way of earning a living is through these means of corruption, injustice, being in debt. Because when we open the ways for wrongful living, we also pave the way that can open avenues to the fire. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. I conclude by making a reference to a lecture by Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ansari, which he gave more than 20 years before our first election. And I was a young child, and he said it was 20 years before the election. He was here in 1970 and 74. We had our elections in 93. He said, and he quoted, explaining the verse, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالَهُ وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَقْلَدَهُ. Surah Humaza, chapter 104 of the Quran, he explained in the lecture, and he said, be careful of every, that people make fitna and fitna mongering and backbiting and slandering, which is so rife in our society. Second point in that verse, those who amass wealth by means of corrupt ways and so on, thinking that this wealth will make them eternal and everlasting. You can count the millions and billions and so on. You think that your wealth will make you invincible. Never. You are going to die, number one. And those who you leave the money to are going to die too, but nonetheless, you'll be cast into that thing which will crush you. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَمُ الْحُطَمَةِ. And what is the thing that will crush you? And one of the explanations Mawlana Sadi gave is not necessarily the crushing of the fire in the hereafter, is the rising of the oppressed people against the injustices that opens the way for you to become enriched the way you become enriched. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that as we reflect on these days, it's not a political talk, it's a reality. How many of you are sitting here thinking that my child must go to Canada? We all condemn America, but they must rather go to America. We all condemn the Arab states, but rather go to Qatar or Dubai or Abu Dhabi to find a job. Of course, you can't go to India anymore. They're killing us there too now. So what I'm saying is, think about this. This is our reality. This is our legacy. The masajid, the madaris, all of these must channel our energies to create an environment. Not only will we train them, but to be able to create, for them to create an environment free of this kind of corruption and injustice, so that the blood of our martyrs of the past can nurture the fruit of freedom and justice for which they died. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. No.
Jazakumullah khairan to Sheikh Sa'adullah for that beautiful and informative talk. Allah subhanahu wa tabarak ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our youth. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. And guide them. May they always be under the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Sheikh his health and strength, inshallah, to carry on for many more years. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. This announcement, inshallah, our dhikr will start, inshallah, hopefully after the Hajj season, inshallah. We'll announce, inshallah, the moment all the Hujjaz have returned and there are still people leaving for Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a Hajj Mabool and a Hajj Mabroor. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. This coming weekend, there are a lot of people leaving. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a journey with ease. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. And inshallah, soon we'll announce when our dhikr will start again, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
الله أكبر
لا إله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله، ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد، واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا، وقودها الناس والحجارة، عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه: أكرموا أولادكم وأحسنوا آدابهم، أو كما قال: صدقت يا رسول الله. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبي: يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا، وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فقال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا قولا كريما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم اجعل الحجاج حجهم حجا مبرورا، وسعيهم مشكورا، وذنوبهم مغفورة، وأعمالهم أعمالاً صالحاً مقبولة، وارجعوهم بالصحة والسلامة والعافية برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا أنت شافي، لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك، شفاء لا يغادر سقما، وارحم موتانا. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا، وشاهدنا وغائبنا، وصغيرنا وكبيرنا، وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، ارفع لهم الدرجات، وكفر عنهم السيئات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.
رحمكم الله استوى اعتدلوا. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين، فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين، فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أيها الكافرون، لا أعبد ما تعبدون، ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد، ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم، ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. نتوب إليك ونسألك التوبة والمغفرة والهداية لنا، فإنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يعود السلام، فحينا ربنا بالسلام وادخلنا الجنة برحمتك دارك دار السلام. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت وتعظمت وتكرمت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم